A new checkup for the cost of healthcare reform.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The question of how much the health care overhaul is going to cost is back again. A new government study out today says, at least initially, reform will cost more, but not much more, than we're spending right now. It's the conclusion of the first federal health care spending report since reform was passed. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The report says the new health care law will only add 0.2% to the nation's health care costs over the next 10 years. John Poizel is an economist for the government's Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which authored the report. He says government payments to hospitals will be lower because of their improved productivity.
So it effectively will reduce the payments to the providers by, we estimate, roughly 1% on average.
But Poizel says in 2014, when most provisions of health care reform go into effect, health care costs will increase sharply. More people will be insured and will take advantage of their benefits. But in 2015, health care inflation is expected to be more subdued because of an emphasis on wellness and better patient management. Ken Thorpe teaches health policy at Emory University.
If we really dig in and do a better job of preventing disease and managing chronically ill patients, we'll end up spending less than what's projected here.
Thorpe says chronic diseases are key drivers of healthcare inflation. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
In other news, we're number four. We're number four. The United States fell two spots to become the fourth most competitive economy on the planet. So says a new study out today from the World Economic Forum. The report ranks the world's countries based on living standards and business growth. For more on that, we're joined live by Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Morning, Scott.
Hey, Bill.
So the U.S. didn't get the gold or the silver or even the bronze this year. What happened?
Blame our banks and blame our borrowing. I mean, this survey ranks countries in 12 categories, and the U.S. got dinged for its low savings rate, which came at 130th out of 139 countries, and for its government debt. As far as our financial system, the credit wreck we have had means the soundness of American banks ranks very low, and business access to credit is also a problem. Now, the good news, Bill, is the U.S. has a huge market, and its universities and research are considered tops.
So why did we get passed up, and who's better than us?
Well, today's show is brought to you by the letter S, because we have Switzerland, which came in first, which has great infrastructure and a great capacity to innovate, according to the survey. And then there's Sweden, with high levels of broadband access. And then Singapore, which is deemed good at luring foreign investors and educating its kids. All these factors, according to people doing the study, are ingredients to what they call a high and rising standard of living. Now, I know you're going to ask about China, Bill. It rose to 27th with very high savings rate. And if you're keeping score among other emerging economies, India 51, Brazil 58.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. Stocks in Europe are up less than 0.5% this morning. News of a successful bond sale by Portugal eased worries over European debt. Asian stocks were mostly higher. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 46 points to close at 10,387. Toys R Us plans to hit the mall this holiday season temporarily. It plans to open about 600 temporary or so-called pop-up stores in malls and shopping centers around the country. Most of these pop-up stores will close in January.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
After all we've been through, you probably don't want to hear that another bubble is growing. But some economists say that's what's happening in the Treasury bond market. Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell spoke with my colleague Jeremy Hobson about whether the investor rush to the supposed safety of bonds is creating the next bubble.
So you think investors are still really nervous?
Oh, I think there's no doubt about it. Take a look at U.S. Treasury yields. 10-year bonds, 2.6%. 30-year bonds, 3.7%. Investors around the world are still putting a lot of money into the bluest of the blue chip securities, the full faith and credit of the federal government. And by the way, so much money is flocking to the U.S. that there's a lot of concern about a bond bubble.
Well, is it a bond bubble?
Well, it has some of the classic signs of being a bubble. You know, people don't care about yield. They want safety at all costs. There's a mass psychological element at work.
Well, obviously, this whole bubble debate gets economists excited. But what about you and me, Chris? Should we care if it's a bubble or if it isn't a bubble?
No, I doubt it. You're absolutely right. If you're interested in this debate, go online. Economists are just fighting it out tooth and nail. But for savers, for you and me, here's the thing. Bonds are risky. They are truly risky. I mean, spin out any scenario you want. You know, the fact of the matter is these interest rates are very low. You're not getting paid much money. And at some point, this economy is going to start growing. Now, when this economy starts growing, a healthy economy will drive up interest rates. If the economy starts growing a little bit, but we have a lot of inflation, that will drive up interest rates. All the risk is that interest rates are going to go up.
But you also just said bonds are risky. Where are ordinary people supposed to put their savings? Stocks?
Now, let's not go that far. This is your safe money. Yes, you're rational. You want to have a little bit of money that you know is going to be there the next year, the next month. So how about short-term U.S. Treasury bills? Stick to the short end of the market. When interest rates start climbing, and at some point they will, you'll participate in those higher rates.
Okay. Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, Colonel Sanders would be 120 years old today. Now, if you're thinking, wait, KFC's logo's been around since 1890? Then you are a typical young person. The company has found that most Americans under 25 don't know who Harlan Sanders was. In response, the company is lobbying for a Colonel Sanders postage stamp and otherwise reminding the world that the Kentucky restaurateur was a real person. KFC hopes that although its name no longer says Kentucky, its logo still will. And by the way, when you swipe your card at a KFC, marketers use that data to figure out your lifestyle category. Go to marketplace.org and find out what your lifestyle category is. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.